Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
What's up, guys? Glad to be back. I guess I didn't miss anything. I was on vacation, so I thought I was going to say I missed a week, but I didn't. I made it just in time. Follow me on Twitter at Torgrud45. We don't have Madison with us this week. Apparently, timing is an issue for him, so we got rid of him. And we got a new friend with us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ahmed Bader. Second time on the pod. But I was on back when it was first starting. Remember, that was the week Gattuso got hired.
Oh, shit. It was, yeah. Because it was just you and I, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just me and you because I used to watch the Primavera a lot. So
yeah.
We talked about what he was like and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And since then, you've become a Parma fan.
No, it's just a retro shirt. But yeah.
I like it. Yeah, great to have you back on, mate. And yeah, Maddie's sacked, so that's good. We're going to have to like edit your face over the logo for the podcast, which is going to be fun. So any graphic designers, hit us up, you know. Yeah. So yeah. Where are we? Oh, yeah, before we get into the episode, just a reminder that we're in the running for the 2020 Football Content Awards for the category Best Content Creator International. There's an article on our website. If you go onto the features page, and that tells you how you can vote for us, or there's also a tweet that you will very easily find that tells you the various ways you can vote for us. You can tweet your vote by copying a certain thing, comment on an Instagram, and also there's like a web thing that you can fill out. We appreciate everyone who's voted for us so far. Hopefully we can win. Funnily enough, we're up against the Parma blog in that. They're really good. I like what those guys do. So voting closes on June the 18th, so that is 8 days for us to rack up as many votes as we can, and then the ceremony is not until November because they've had to push it back because of the various, you know, restrictions and social distancing and all that. So be November when we find out. But yeah, every vote counts from now until June the 18th. And as I said, thank you to everybody who's already voted for us. And just a share even could help Milan win a trophy indirectly. So yeah, cheers. Speaking of winning a trophy, Friday, it's almost here. The first game back since like early March. You said, Ahmed, before we started recording, that it feels like it's been two full seasons since we played, which is fairly accurate. We kind of talked about it last week. We're not too optimistic, really. I said we'll take the lead and lose, and I'm now starting to think that, actually, yeah, we're not playing with any recognised strikers, so I don't even think we're going to score a goal. But, Ahmed, you're here to give us some optimism, aren't you?
No, of course not. I feel like it'll play like every single Juve game we ever play will be tied. Or I actually think we will score. We'll score. Then they'll tie it up. Then they'll bring somebody off the bench, somebody really good that we can't possibly match, and they'll win by some stupid goal. Somebody will do something incredibly stupid, usually a fullback, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll lose.
Well, it's funny because we basically don't have our two starting fullbacks for this game.
They were any good anyway.
Exactly. Well, Teo, I wouldn't mind it, Teo. At least he would have given us a chance of scoring.
Teo's great going forward. Great going forward. But my God, is he embarrassing defensively, man. Like, so bad defensively.
He needs to work on that, definitely. Or we just need, as we keep saying on this pod, we need a more solid defensive right back who can almost slot over and help us out a bit at the back when Teo goes bombing forward. But I don't know. I think everything will change, obviously, if we get a new manager and stuff. We'll come on to that. But just on this game, the lineups have basically been not leaked, but you know what I mean? These are the probable lineups according to Sky. So I'll run through ours first and then we can shit ourselves when I read out theirs. Obviously, Donnarumma in goal. Conte has brushed off whatever it was that had him apparently out last week, and he'll start at right back. Honestly, doesn't make me feel any better about anything. Chiesa and Romagnoli, centre backs, obviously. Calabria, left back, because that's the way to help him when he's having a terrible season, is to shift him to his wrong side. Laxalt must be like requesting his contract rescinded as we speak. Kessié, Benacer, Bonaventura as three. Sort of out and out central midfielders, with Benacer being in the middle and the deeper. Paqueta and Calhanoglu then supporting Rebic up front in a Christmas tree that we haven't seen since Carlo Ancelotti's days. First takes on the lineup.
Different. It is different. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, we would have Teo and Zlatan in. But for what we have, it's not terrible. It's just terrible compared to what it's going to be up against.
Fair assessment.
I don't know, man. The fullbacks are always going to be a problem. They would have been a problem defensively anyway, but now that Calabria, as you said, is having a terrible season, I don't know what the hell has happened to him this year, but and now he has to go on his left. And Conte, the king of making unnecessary fouls that just no one needs to see. Yeah, it's not going to be good, realistically.
I could see Conte getting a red card.
His thing is he doesn't even, like, when I mean, like, stupid, I don't mean, like, aggressive. I mean, like, he does this, if you actually pay attention to it, he does it at least twice a game, where the winger will be going away from goal, and he'll just foul him for no reason. Mm-hmm. And just those fouls piss me off more than anything in the world.
The penalty that he gave away where his arm was just outstretched for no reason whatsoever. Yeah.
We're just running around like this and backfires. Guy, what are you doing, man?
I get it, because obviously we're looking now. I think a lot of our fans have learned to look economically on how we're dealing with things. And obviously selling Calabria would give us a chance to get a capital gain and all that. But for me, like, how long are we going to stick by Conte, man? He came in 2017. Has he had 10 good games since in the last 3 years since he arrived? Like, we paid decent money for him, and I just don't see why we're not.
Conte was one of those players that when we brought him in, we had really high hopes. I mean, he was fantastic. I believe he was defensive player of the season the year prior at Atalanta before we got him or something like that.
He was a wing back.
Yeah, it was strange. I don't agree with the award, but that's what he was named. And everyone was really excited. We thought, okay, cool, we've solved this problem. Like, we're going to be great. And that's what we said with a lot of those signings that came in that season. But then he didn't play for two seasons because of injury, and then he came back.
He got those two awful injuries, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you can't blame him for that, but you can blame him for how he's been since, and it hasn't been very good. So I think he's going to go the same way as Caldara went and all the other big-name people that we would buy and then just got injured for seasons. It seems like that's been a trend for us lately. But, yeah, Conte's got to go. You know, we just got to move on.
He's like a lot of fullbacks in – a lot of fast fullbacks in that, like, when they have their pace, they can make positional mistakes, and then just by being incredibly fast, they can make up for that. But then he has the two AC injuries. Now he's not fast. He's not athletic. And he was clearly never a good positional player in the first place. So now when he gets caught out, there's just no recovery. There's no possibility for a recovery. And, like, he's just a disaster.
Yeah, he doesn't offer anything.
The sharpest tool in the shed. Let's be real. Like, he's just, yeah.
That is right. It's right. Since the two injuries, like you say, you can't really do anything about that. You can't legislate for that. And I do feel bad for him in that regard. But, like, he's 27 now. He needs to have figured it out by now. And unfortunately, we're in a position where we've got I feel bad talking about a human being like this, but we've got a deadweight asset that we can't really shift. So we're probably going to have to stick with him until his contract's up in 2022, or hope that we can send him somewhere for a more useful player, like, you know, send him to Fiorentina with a bit of money and get Lirola and see if we can do something like that just to try and improve. I mean, we're going for a new starting right back, that's obvious. I'd just much rather see Calabria stay around because he's 22, maybe 23. But yeah, he's 22 and he's got a lot more potential as a backup. And I don't think he minds being a backup, whereas Conte, you know, was apparently getting itchy feet in January. His agent kept saying stuff about evaluating exits. And just don't really like the situation at right back at the moment. I mean, we've nobody in the Primavera who could step up either, but for this particular game, I think it's going to be a disaster, especially when I tell you that, as it stands, Juve's front three is going to be Douglas Costa, Paulo Dybala, and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep, going to be fun. Can't wait.
We're in trouble. But I think I take back what I said. I don't think we're going to score. I think we're going to lose 3-0 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every time Douglas Costa comes on against us, Juve just turn it up another level. And it's because he's so fast. And like we've pointed out, all of our fullbacks are pretty poor defensively. I mean, Teo's as quick as him, but he's not playing, so it doesn't make a difference there. Calabria's not fast. Conte's not fast. I mean, no one's going to catch this guy, and he's just going to go right
through. Laxalt would probably give us the best chance, and he's not being given a game.
And that's okay.
But best chance of him catching up to him, but like everything else.
What's he going
to
do then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, great, he'll be side by side to get beat by again. Like,
oh man, it's terrible. A mess. It's a real mess. Yeah.
This was not the game I wanted to come back on.
No, but this is an interesting question I'll ask now. It comes from Tommy Tank. He says, do you think that with this being the first game back in Italian football and there'll be a lack of match sharpness on both sides, it could give us an advantage?
No.
Could there be a wild card?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, not a chance.
No.
Do you know who Cristiano Ronaldo is? That man stays ready.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
And
not just that. Like
I know
being,
our players, they don't stay ready even when they have a game like twice a week. You know, they go out and fly to Ibiza and party midweek games. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to be ready at all. I think we're going to come in out of shape, slow, lethargic, ugly, and we're going to get smashed.
It doesn't even help like, as well.
Cool. Yeah, when you're out of match fitness and all this kind of stuff, you want. It's the players who are going to be most ready to bounce on the little taps and the mistakes and the little deflections, stuff like that. And they have all the best guys to do that. They have the best guy who's probably ever existed to do that in Ronaldo. Like this guy just, if you make a mistake, he's always somehow there. Mm. And the rest of their squad is great at that. And we have just a bunch of guys who are always just, we have a young squad, youngish squad that is just, not as experienced as theirs in getting
it's going to be bloody hard. Like let's be totally honest. Just for the purpose of continuity, the rest of their lineup, they've obviously got Buffon in goal, Cuadrado at right back, which does give me a little bit of hope. I mean, I know he's been playing well actually as a right back this season, but you know,
he's faster than anyone on our squad.
He's faster, but whether he's better defensively, given that, you know, his best performances as a professional player have come as a right winger.
I disagree with that. I think he's a pretty solid wing back. Just simply because of how fast he is. I mean, he's going to get around at anyone, and doesn't matter if he's poor at defense. If one of our forwards get in front of him, he could just catch up, and then he's going to get in front, and then we're going to run right into him. I mean,
like a little road runner.
Yeah, because it's not like any of our players are that tricky up top either, you know? Like, our best player with tricks of skills at his feet was Suso, and he had one skill, and he's gone. So it's like, what are we going to do? I have no high hopes. The only
fully enough, the other guy
is Buffon being in goal because he's old, and I hope he gets Corona mid-game and, you know, wheel him out.
That's staying in. Yeah, maybe. I want to see him cry, to be honest. That's what
that's my favorite thing.
But yeah. There's that, and then there's Benucci. Would be funny to see him cry as well. Alexandro, left back, fair. The midfield is pretty packed out. They've got Kadira, Bentancur, and Matuidi. I mean, we just can't hold a light to that. And then obviously the front three, as I mentioned, so it doesn't match up well.
Not at all.
This is one of them that's either going to be a 5-0 or after the game we're all like, oh, we only lost 2-0. I think we've done quite well there.
Actually, I never think it's going to be like that. Against the big teams, we always find a way to make it competitive and then always dignified loss. Like, we always lose that way. I can't even remember them actually, like, destroying us. Even, like, peak Benter era, they used to just be like, oh, it's two. They score early, then there'd be like a long stretch of the game where we'd like, oh, we might do something, and then they'd score again. It'd be 2-0.
And that's makes it so much harder, is because you go into it with zero expectation, expecting to get dominated, and then all of a sudden you're like, maybe we could pull this off. Like, we're going to do something here. I could feel it. And then we don't. And then it'll be like in the first league, no one anticipated anything. We're having a god-awful season. We go up, and we're controlling the game. Like, all right, wow, we're going to get away with a 1-0 win. 90th minute handball. I'm pretty sure there was some dubious bullshit to it anyways, but I don't remember. And then Ronaldo scores a penalty, and it's 1-1 to end the game.
Well, that one was the Calabria one when he was like a yard away. And then, of course, there was Then there was the Çalhanoğlu handball that gave Dybala the last-minute penalty in 2017. Mm-hmm. What was it last season? Piontek put us 1-0 up at their ground, and we lost 2-1. Moyes Keane and Dybala again, I think. It was just like...
Benucci put us up 1-0 on their ground as well, and then we lost that game.
Yeah.
That's correct.
We have a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
We've never won there. We haven't won a Coppa Italia game against Juventus since 1985. Again, the argument is all we need is a draw, but we need to score. And it's like we're missing the players that we need to score. It's funny because you were talking about trickery and stuff earlier. Leao probably gives us the best chance of having that X factor, that unknown, that something that they perhaps can't prepare for. And
that's only helpful because you haven't seen him play either, but I don't think he gets the chance, really. I mean, he'll probably get a chance because we have five substitutes, but I don't think he's going to be like the talisman. He's not going to change anything for us. You know,
what do you guys think about him?
I like the player. I like him. I don't think his time is now. You know, I think he needs more. He needs something else. And I don't know if he can get it working with this squad.
He's so frustrating. But at the same time, I genuinely think he's maybe the most like naturally gifted player we maybe had since Pato. Like, I can't think of anyone he gets the ball and you're like, this guy can do things. You know what I'm saying? Every time he gets the ball, I feel like he's going to do something. Now, more often than not, he doesn't because he's just not the smartest, right? Yeah. But but again, that'll come with experience and all that kind of stuff. I don't actually think he's a stupid person. I just think he's not as experienced.
Yeah, it's his decision making. It's the same issue that Paqueta has, you know? He's fantastic when he gets the ball, fantastic moving up the pitch. And then when he's in the final third, like, he just makes the wrong choice 9 times out of 10. And the one time he does make it, he scuffs the ball or something and goes to the stands.
Yeah, I agree with the assessment as well that Leao's definitely a player that gets you on the edge of your seat. He wants to make things happen, and I really like that. And that's why I think as well, especially given how direct he is and how nimble he is, that there might be a role for him under Rangnick if he arrives. You know, he strikes me as a forward who might, if he was willing to work hard and he was willing to press and buy into the philosophy, there's something there. You know, in terms of vertical movement, just bombing towards the opponent's goal, he could be absolutely perfect for this. We've seen that goal against Fiorentina. You know, it's weird because he's got 2 goals for us, hasn't he? And he is the player that I think I see the most like Twitter and YouTube compilations of in our entire squad, and he's barely playing. So there's clearly people are seeing something there, and we've seen something there. But I'm worried if Ibrahimovic is injured, we've got to go for our other centre forward, unless we really don't see him as a centre forward, and we just refuse to play him there because we're worried about damaging him in a game like this. But it worries me that he was out injured and he's just not getting a look in.
Well, I mean, yes, I agree with you. But it makes sense given the form Rebic is in. Granted, form's gone. Like, you can't look at any past form this season and think it's going to continue, you know, with too long of a break. But Rebic has done well, and it'd be unfair to him to start Leao, I think.
Well, I think you can start.
But Rebic has done better on the left. Rebic did better on the left.
You were cutting out there. You were saying Rebic did what?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying Rebic did well, but he did better on the left. Him and Teo was actually that partnership was actually one of the best things that happened to us this season. Was them just. Because there was so much pace on that side, right?
Yeah.
And then, so Rebic actually works hard. So he covers for Teo's, like, when he goes forward. I think the thing with Leao is, like, it was part of my frustration with us signing Ibrahimovic. Now, again, I'm not, like, completely against the thing, like, now. I know in hindsight he's good and all this kind of stuff. But my thing was, okay, we're going to suck. Once we sign Giampaolo, like, we're not going to be good, right? We're not making top four. It's just not happening. Once that happens, play Leão every single game, in my opinion. Like, yeah, if we're saying, yeah, if we're saying he's so talented, he's this and that, and he needs time. And, like, the only reason you wouldn't give young players time is if you're good. But we're not good. So just give him all the time he can need. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think there's a formation for this game where you can fit them both in, quite simply. Yeah. You know, you stick with the 4-2-3-1, the thing that we've been using for weeks and was working so well up until the up until the stop. And you sort of have a supporting cast behind of, say, let's say you have Rebic on the left, Çalhanoğlu playing in his more natural position as a number 10, and then Bonaventura or Paqueta on the right, and you have Leão up front. And you stick Benacer and Kessier, and, you know, everybody's happy. I mean, I don't see what good it does to put our best winger this season in an unnatural position and to leave out a player who must be getting a bit disillusioned now in terms of the game time that he's getting. But we'll see, because, again, I think there's an element of protection in all of this as well. I think we see him as this gem who's ready to explode, and we think that by giving him game time in bad situations, then he might get disheartened by that. But I don't know. I don't want to overthink the psychology of it too much. It's just a surprise to me when there were all the reports when we got back into training saying that Leão had returned determined to prove a point and all this kind of stuff. And for our only recognised out-and-out centre-forward to not be starting. Interesting. That's all I'll say. Right, we'll do an official prediction then, because we like to do it. I'll start by saying I think we lose 3-1 on the night, so that would be 4-2 on aggregate.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I'll probably go with that as well.
I'll go 2-1 with their winner coming in like past the 75th minute. I feel like it's always like that. It's always close.
That would be heartbreaking as well, because it goes straight to penalties.
It always is. It always is.
So yeah, like, we'd be close.
That's a good point, that it's straight to penalties.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually know that.
It's so annoying, because I was reading all the reports that were like, oh, it goes straight to penalties if it's a draw after 90 minutes. And I was thinking, they've got rid of away goals. We could just park the bus for 90 minutes and get to the penalties.
Wait, they got rid of away goals?
No, but they didn't. It turns out they didn't. It would have to be a 1-1 result for it to go straight to penalties. But it wouldn't matter anyway, even if it did go to away goals, we'd be lost. Right, where are we now? On to other more topical stuff. Interesting thing came out today, towards the end of the day. So basically, there was an interesting meeting that came, a Sky piece that came out saying that Ivan Gazidis hasn't been at the training grounds in 3 months, basically since early March. Understandable, given that obviously there was the break for COVID and stuff. But in the weeks that the squad have been back training, when Maldini and Massara have been there, he hasn't been there yet. So he decided today, on the Wednesday, to rock up to training. And there was some interesting stuff said. So apparently, he first of all communicated to the squad that the club had accepted the players' proposal to cut their salary by 50% for the month of April because of the coronavirus pause, which is fair. Good stuff that, because the players put it forward first and then the club accepted it and he was able to bring the good news. So I think that's a positive start. And then essentially Gazidis apologised to the Milan players for taking so long to communicate that particular news. And he also apologised for his absence because he hadn't been there since March the 6th. He pledged to be at the training ground more and apparently reiterated that the club's owners are financially solid and that large investments will be made on the stadium, which is a weird thing to tell the squad, but, you know. And then he also told the entire team that they need to give 200% for the next 2 months of the season. And finally, on the next head coach, he said that a decision hasn't been made and purely has a chance of staying. Now, how many times did he attempt to dig himself out of the hole that he's already in there? I've got about 6.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, in order of what you just said, I'm good with him, you know, accepting the proposal. I'm good with him saying, sorry, I haven't been around. I'm good with him saying, but I will be more. I'm good with him saying we're going to improve the stadium. And that's about it. then everything else was just kind of like, ooh, why'd you say that? Ooh, why'd you say that? You never want to say that we haven't decided if we're going to keep the coach around or not, but you got a chance. You know, like, don't say that in front of the coach. I would imagine Pioli was there.
I want to know if he, yeah, he was there. I want to know if he explicitly said it, like, Stefano, you've got a chance to stay in, so next 2 months we need all hands on deck. Because I'd just be like, sorry, what? I'm resigning.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's different for you guys, but if you tell me that, hey, we're going to get rid of you, but if you work really hard, we might change our mind, with might being the operative word, I'm not going to work hard. I'm just going to look for a new job, you know? Like, because you've already made up your mind, I have to do something extraordinary. And why? Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And I just want to know how he phrased it. I would love to have been part of that conversation to hear how he phrased it. Like, well, you know, on the next manager, no decisions have been made. That for me would just be like, right, so there is someone else then. You just sugarcoat.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're acknowledging is that there's ideas being floated around of a replacement. Yeah. And
just
I don't even think
out.
He
just
needs to acknowledge anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that was irrelevant. Unless, like, one of the players said, is homeboy staying? You know, and then he's like, we don't know. But even then, why? Why do the players? You know this statement's going to be made public. You know everyone here is going to hear it. Just lie. We have total faith in Pioli. That's all you got to say. We're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
And then change it, just like you did with Boban and Maldini. Just lie. That's all football CEOs do is lie about shit like that. So I don't know why you decided to tell the truth about this one. It's foolish. It's stupid. But Zlatan got mad, apparently.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that. I'll read it as it was, because obviously this came from Vito. Shout out Vito Angeli. He got it first before everybody else. It's fair play to him for that. But yeah, during this meeting, apparently, they had a bit of a heated discussion in which Ibrahimovic criticised Gazidis for being too distant, and also criticised how he handled the salary cut dispute, basically saying that he took too long to communicate the decision. Apparently the actual confrontation lasted for a few minutes. Part of the squad witnessed everything, so it wasn't in front of the whole group after he gathered them around. I guess there was just a few of them and he decided to go over and talk to him. Apparently Ibrahimovic wasn't happy with the sacking of Boban, and since he left, he's noticed that Maldini's become more distant from the squad as well, presumably because he knows that his future's up in the air. Essentially, all of the reports that maybe suggested that Ibra has a chance to stay in it don't look great now.
Yeah, I think if anything, he's lashing out because he knows that he might get screwed over in this as well. Exactly. You know, he volunteered to come here and help us to work with Boban and Maldini. You know, he's getting paid less than he was in the MLS.
He paid $4 million a year to volunteer, though.
Well, it's less than he was making at his last three clubs. I mean, like, yeah. I get it. It's still a lot, but compared to what he could have been making if he were to go elsewhere, it's not like he didn't have other options, you know?
I think Ibrahimovic is just a man who is very, very principled, and he likes things to be upfront. He likes there to be transparency, and he doesn't like the way that Gazidis has gone about things. I think he might have lashed out about the salary issue, but really he was using it as a Trojan horse for saying, you've handled everything badly, like the whole communication of everything. You know, you can't say in front of the entire squad, we know about Ranić, all this kind of stuff. But I think he might have just been saying, you need to be accountable for bad communication, basically, which he should. I don't know what CEOs of other football clubs are like in terms of, do they normally go and watch the teams train, or do they just stay in their office? But Gazidis, how many times have we said, just stick to getting us those new sponsorship deals, stick to working on the new stadium plan. Do you know what? Even make decisions regarding the boardroom of the club and the manager, but leave everything else to the people who know about football.
Well, and even then, you just know that another CEO is not going to hide the fact that he's looking at a new manager from your director of sport, you know, your sporting directors. Why exclude them? There's no reason to go behind Boban's back. Obviously, we know it's because Ranić wants to do dual role, but that's not something you would keep a secret from your sporting directors. You know, like, you need to have them on your side. That's your staff. That those are your team. And that's why Zlatan's so upset about it, obviously, is because he backstabbed Boban, he's backstabbing Maldini. Those are Zlatan's friends. You know, I get it. I'm mad too. I don't like Gazidis. No one wanted him here, but that's what we got. Oh, well.
His management is just in line with how we've been. We've done things so bad, so poorly. And like, I'm just praying that when Ranieri comes in, or if he does come in, I assume he does, that let this please be the final like managerial change. Like, we can't keep doing this. This is like four different managements in 4 years. No successful club can ever be run like that. Like,
no.
You have to get this one right. And you know what my thing is Ranieri is not a miracle worker. I don't know much about him, but I can't imagine the guy's going to come in and turn, because this squad is significantly worse, in my opinion, than it was last year or the year before that. I think there was a lot more upside in those squads.
Mm-hmm.
And we've having Suso and Piontek and all these guys leave. The squad is way worse, and I anticipate we're probably going to suck. Or we're probably at least not going to make Champions League in his first year. And they need to be completely in tune with that. Like, yes, even if we don't make Champions League, I don't care if we finish 15th. He's the guy.
And that's right? The problem is like you said, we've restarted and we've just assumed everyone's going to work miracles. You know, unless you're hiring Pep Guardiola, no, they're not going to work miracles. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
There's no manager in world football that could come in and... You know what, people kept saying Spalletti, he's guaranteed serial top four finisher. He's done it in inherited squads that are far better than what we have at the moment. Our squad, as we've said all season, is probably the most unbalanced we've had this entire decade, and that includes some terrible teams in 2013, 14 and 14, 15. They were awful, but I look at that 2014-15 team and think, do you know what, there was something there. Like, we actually played some good football at times. Purely, we've seen a bit of a resurgence, but we've had all these discussions as well about whether it's right to rip it up and start again, or whether we delay everything by a year and give Pioli a chance to maybe just get a bit of a run going next season and do the impossible. But it starts with the basis of the squad, and I think any manager would struggle to work with this squad. So the solution then is that it needs blowing up and rebuilding.
Like, I'd say Pioli has had like the hardest term for any 1 year coach, and probably, I don't know, recent memory of all football. I mean, you think he took over after Gianpaolo had the worst 7-game run in the history of sport, and then like, it was so bad. He came into the Pioli out hashtag trending worldwide. Like, he had zero support to begin with.
So bad for that.
He had to rebuild a team that was already rebuilt twice, that was done incorrectly twice, and then he had coronavirus stop him halfway. This whole time, there's rumors he's being replaced at the end of the season by Allegri, Ranieri, Spalletti, you name it.
Anyone who takes a phone call, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have your CEO come to the ground and say, hey, we don't know if we're going to keep you or not, but, you know, do your best. Like, what do you want from the guy? I feel bad.
He knew the contract he was signing, and that was one until the end of the season with the conditional extension. His work will never be given enough credit when you look back at the stat line of his managerial time, and he did inherit a ridiculously difficult situation, but I feel bad for he seems a solid bloke. Like, he seems a really, really good professional, and God knows how he's managed to keep his mouth shut throughout all of this. Fair play to him for that, and it's going to land him a good job. I think what he's doing now, what he's done, the way he's handled himself, is probably going to land him a decent project.
I'd say he's lucky he was bald before he got the job, because if he wasn't, he would be.
That should be
the
our new
thing is, like,
bald managers.
You have to already be bald so that we don't really notice how bad the job ages you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Spalletti.
As bad as the thing is, as bad as the squad is, and I really do, like, my thing is, when Gattuso got sacked, let's like rewind, look at that squad, right? We were like, yeah, I swear to God, I was about to say. I personally thought two players away. We're like, okay, we got the goalkeeper. We have the marquee center back. Calabria was good. Rodriguez was good. Kessie, room to grow. All these guys. I was like, man, Bakayoko, especially. Bakayoko, I was like, man, we're going to re-sign him. Everything's going to be cool. All this kind of stuff. And then and we were happy with Suso. Piontek was off of his great season. All kinds of stuff. We were like maybe left winger and a midfielder, and we're good to go. Maybe a center back. You look now, I could like half the team needs half the starting 11 needs to change. We have a great spine. So right down the middle, we have Benacer is the guy, unless he leaves, of course. God forbid.
He's going.
Then Benacer, Romagnoli, Donnarumma, great. Then if Leao is, I'm hoping Leao is that guy, but we never know. If he is that guy, then that's a great young with Romagnoli now, not young anymore, spine. Like, that we can build on. Everything else, I like Kessie, I like Teo, probably new center back, new right back, a new midfielder, two new wingers. Then we'd be good to go. Then we'll be a Champions League team.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, if we scrap half the team, we'll be good to go.
But I mean, that's the point, though.
That's what frustrates me about
Gattuso. We were.
I don't.
Go ahead.
We're so close, man. We're so goddamn close. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts on the Piontek and Suso selling them in the winter, but I just felt people just rode that wave like so easily. Like people were just like, yeah, sell them. Yeah, just, you know, whatever. I'm like, Suso's been good for like 4 years. He has a bad 6 months under a manager we all agree was terrible, right? And everyone's just like, yeah, sell him. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, he's been our best player. Why? I don't understand why you wouldn't keep him. And the thing is, with that 20 million, you're not going to sign somebody who's better than him. You're just not. All we got was Salamanca's and the potential of an American left back that didn't even happen.
I forgot about Salamanca.
He doesn't exist. He's not a real person, man.
It's going to be funny when we sign him permanently.
You can't convince me that guy is real, man.
I still agree in hindsight that selling Suso was the right move. And the reason is the interviews that he's given since where he said that his heart basically wasn't in it anymore. And he's come out since and criticised the management and the lack of stability, which I totally understand. However, it just proves to me that we were keeping an unhappy player. Mm-hmm. And his form was suffering as a result. And we've got 23 million pure capital gain out of him because we got him on a free. So I get it. Like, it was probably one of those where he'd reached the end of his 6 years. He'd been with us for 6 years. Like, he probably just reached the end of his cycle. But you're right. We now need to find a replacement. Or if we're going with like a 4-4-2 into next season, please, for the love of God, get someone better than Samu Castillejo. I'm sorry, but I just... What are people seeing with this guy? The more that I think about it, the more...
We have nothing else, man. People will eat up anything. That's what this season has taught me. Whatever the hell Milan serve us, there are a bunch of people who will like eat it up. They don't care. They'll accept anyone at any position. They'll just be like, yeah, Samu Castillejo better than Suso. Oh, I'm like, at what? Like, I don't understand.
You know what?
I would have rather, dude, my thing is like, I would have rather watched Suso fight through his bad form than ever give Samu the starting job.
I said that. I said it multiple times.
I think Samu Castillejo had a bright sort of burst back onto the scene. Where,
he had a good month.
He looked like he gave us something different, and different doesn't always equal great. You know, we figured that out with American politics. But Castillejo, the thing that frustrates me is people like, well, he works hard, he's athletic, and he's fast. And it's like, when was the last time he scored a goal?
He's an okay player. The thing with him is, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I keep thinking internet's terrible, that's why. But what's it called? Yeah, the thing with him is he's an okay player, but I have seen Suso with my own eyes be a Champions League level player. I guarantee you Samuel Castillo will never be that. At least at Milan, he won't.
I agree.
And like, that's why. It was the same thing with Piontek. I agreed with his selling a little bit more than Suso, but I still felt like we all agreed as the collective, Giampaolo was not a good manager for the job, and he was doing a bad job. And once you establish that the system is bad, I don't understand how then you can like start blaming all. So you say the system is bad and the manager change is bad, but the dips in form are somehow the players' fault more than the manager. I don't get that. I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
I campaigned for Piontek's sale at the time because I thought he was another one. His head seemed to drop. And that was the difficult thing, is that he appeared to stop working hard for me. But I get what you mean. It's difficult when, you know, players are playing under various changes in system. And Paqueta's one as well, I think. Well, he's not exactly had the right conditions to flourish, has he? He's worked under, what, three managers already in the 18 months that he's been here. But the Piontek thing, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we'd have let go of him unless Hertha Berlin had have come in with that offer, you know, of straight up cash to sign him on a permanent deal. And I think we just panicked and thought, right, we've got a chance of getting Ibrahim. Well, obviously Ibrahimovic was basically back at the club then already. So we just panicked and were like, right, well, let's. He hadn't been good. I'll be totally honest. Piontek had not been good.
Oh, He wasn't.
But I agree, yeah, punishing the players 100% for what have been systematic failures in terms of choices of management and stuff like that. And we're going to regret losing Gattuso, because if you notice that Napoli are now above us in the table, he's very good at...
He just renewed with Napoli as well.
Yeah.
I said that at the time. People can't even claim hindsight. Like, I said that at the time. The guy finished one Bruno Alves free kick hits the post instead of goes in. Right? And we're in the Champions League and we're like, no. We need to scrap everything. We sacked the manager, first of all, right? But not only did we do that, we signed a manager who had a completely different philosophy. Like, under Gattuso, it was...
I think we lost him.
Defense first. We can... Oh, God damn it.
You hear me?
No, we got that part.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, I was saying, like, under Gattuso, it was defense first. We build from there. And then we bring a completely, totally different manager who wants to, like, play tiki-taka possession football with players who clearly aren't good enough to do it, right? And then, so not only did we just sack the manager, we scrapped the whole thing. We scrapped the whole system he had. Mm-hmm. And when we were all saying we're one or two players away, we not only don't sign those one or two players, we sign players for positions we thought we were good in. And I'm like, how does this correlate? Like, I don't understand what was going on. Like, okay, again, the Teo signing in hindsight, good, right? But at the time, did anyone think, man, an urgent need?
Yeah.
Ahead of left winger and midfielder, we need a left back. That's what we really need.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Yeah, I did.
And then we signed
a
35 million Portuguese youth striker, like, oh man, as if we haven't been down that road before. And like, it's just, that's the part that pisses me off. It's like, how many times do we have to keep making these same mistakes? Like, did Ender Silva not exist? He was still at the club as we signed Rafael Leão. And then we were like, oh, we gotta get rid of this guy. Oh, Eintracht Frankfurt won a 2-year loan deal swap? All right, let's do that. It was just like a bundle of nothing. It was just like, what did we just do? We were one or two players away, and not only did we not address any of those positions, we got completely different positions and changed the formation and the tactics and everything.
And then, seven games later, we did it all over again. And then we had to work towards getting back to where we were with Gattuso. We took 20 steps backwards just to take 5 forward, you know, and now we're so far away.
I mean, there was some context as well to the summer of recruitment. It was clear that we wanted to go in a new direction by signing young players that we could develop and basically make our accounts look better. I totally understand that. But we said at the time, over and over again, if we're putting our eggs in that basket, then stick with it. Like, just stick with it. Don't, in January, when we're in eighth place... When we're in eighth place, sign 3 30-plus-year-old players. And what did we do? Exactly that. It's like, all right, yeah.
That's
Poor internet. For those of you that aren't watching, he's ranting, but no one can hear it right now. He's frozen on screen.
It's quite funny though.
What teams are they watching? No one can hear it. God damn, man.
This is already my favorite episode.
We lost him.
There he goes. Oh, and he's back.
God, man, this internet, man, is ass.
It's like when you rant, it overloads everything.
I know, man. It takes me out. It cuts me out at exactly the moment I need the connection. But no, it's like, what the hell was I saying?
I don't know. This I've never heard.
This is already my favorite episode.
Hold on. Oh, hold on. Yeah, it's like, what are these teams they're watching that they just are like, all right, so we're going to go with the youth project, which, we did that before. Italian Milan or whatever the fuck that was called.
Oh, right? God.
I forgot about that. That was so sad.
Right? As if we haven't done that before. We're going to bring back the shit from the past, and then we're going to go, we're going to fill the whole squad up with 20-year-olds, and then we're not even going to be paid. Because as we all know, squads with 20-year-olds
is it doing it for you?
Yeah, I feel bad for the people that are going to be listening instead of watching. They're going to have no clue.
No, they'll just be able to hear some kind of like alien noise.
Like, I just don't know what the... You guys can hear me?
It's so funny because every time, like, you'll be frozen, we'll just start speaking over you, and then as soon as you hear that, you cut back in every time.
It's quite funny asking if we could hear you. It's like, we can now.
I'm saying, like, they're just doing this stuff where it doesn't make any sense. Like, not only they sign all these 20-year-olds and they don't want to allow them to develop, and then they want immediate success, and they hire Raniak for his ability to manage youth and to sign successful youth players. And I'm like, yeah, but Leipzig sucked to begin with. That's the point we need to focus on. They sucked to begin with, and only when they allowed years of development did they finally become a Champions League team or a consistent Champions League team.
He also signed a load of players on the cheap. People don't realize how many players. He might have signed 20 players and 5 of them were of first team quality, but it didn't matter because...
That's the money.
And Red Bull were obviously more than able to financially back something like that. And because he was signing players so cheap and so young, their value didn't really decrease. So it didn't look bad for the balance books. But with us, it feels like... We are shopping at a slightly more expensive store than I think Rennick was to begin with, definitely, at Leipzig. But we need to get it right, you know? If Florentino Luiz comes in, for example, and we pin our hopes on a guy who can't get a game for Benfica over Julian Weigl, and we stick him alongside Bennacer, who has had his own inconsistencies, but is now apparently the leader of our midfield, even though he's got 12 yellow cards in 14 starts or something. We should probably be a little bit worried. And then, you know, there are players like Szoboszlai and Luka Jovic, if he were to arrive and stuff, that would give you a... Bakayoko, if he were to come back, would give you a bit of certainty, an element of, like, we know what we're getting with this guy. But it's the key positions that we need. We need another good central midfielder that we can just say, give him the games. Same with centre-back, same with right-back, same with striker. Those are like four big, big needs. And I know we have the budget to do it, but we've got to get it right. I trust Raniak. I really do. I think he's going to get the power that he wants. But our fan base are not exactly known for being patient and rational. And we'll need to see a fairly quick...
Yeah. I mean, his executive record, like, who are we to, like, disagree with that? The guy did build a great team with Leipzig, right?
Three.
But, yeah, exactly.
Built Schalke and Hoffenheim before that as well, which shouldn't be ignored.
Great. That's why... But what's it called? No, but I'm saying, like, it's just... I don't understand... We need to be wary about the fact that very likely we will not make the Champions League next year. It's just unrealistic because of, and people will be like, oh, well, Conte did it. Well, yeah, if you give Ranić 150 million and you let him sign an 80 million striker, then yeah, we will be good. We might be good to go. But at the level we're shopping at, and especially if we're going to stick to this 20-year-old thing or whatever, these young players, right? We're definitely not making Champions League next year. And all these people, that's my main thing. The management and the fans, which as funny as it is, they're about as fickle as each other, right?
That's getting clipped.
I'm saying, but all these people that are so dead on with Ranić, and I'm fine with them. Let's do it. But all these people that are so excited now, they better be ready, because we are not going to be good. Likely, we are not going to be good. And when it happens, don't switch your tune, because this is what happens every time. When we sacked Gattuso and we hired Gianpaolo, everyone was like, "Oh man, we finally got Gattuso needs to go and all this stuff." And it's the people. You know what I'm saying? And it's dude, and it's the people. It's the people like, I'm gonna pat myself on the back here. It's the people like me who end up defending the manager every single time, right? And so that we fired Gattuso, we hired Gianpaolo. I'm like, man, we're gonna suck. It's just how it goes. We're gonna suck. And they're like, no, you don't even know what's going on. He's gonna play amazing football with the 4-3-1-2 that hasn't been good since like the 1980s. Right? All this kind of stuff. And then they go, and then when he inevitably sucks, obviously he sucks, then I'm sitting there like, I think we should still keep him. I think we should just give him time. And everyone's like, no, fire him. We fire him. Yeah. Now we're going to do the same thing with Ranić. They're all already so excited that we're going to automatically compete with Juve with the title, obviously. Because he built Leipzig, you know, right? It's not like he had the job for 15 years before they were any good.
This is Leipzig as well, who haven't won a major trophy yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, God, man. They're going to be so excited now until we inevitably lose a couple games. And then they're going to be like, man, what is this guy? This guy stinks.
And they're going to want to. What I hope from this, though, is that if there are growing pains, which I think there will be, definitely, is what happens with having a predominantly young squad, at learning a completely new philosophy and idea of playing in a shorter preseason than normal. What I do hope is that we see enough signs for people to be like, okay, he's building something. So we might be losing games, but we're losing them 4-2. Like, we're playing attractive, we're playing intense, we appear to be moving in the right direction. Whereas the thing with Gianpaolo was definitely the fact that he scrap the 4-3-1-2 after like three games. People were like, ah, this guy doesn't actually have a plan at all here.
He had a plan. Just couldn't execute it. That's like his thing. His whole thing was like the Sampdoria squad was so tailor made for what he wanted to do.
It was a good squad.
Right?
When Gianpaolo came in, he requested one player, Trera. And we didn't get him, you know?
And we never get him. No, but because every time a manager requests a player, we never get him.
And that's like what they sign on. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll coach Milan, but this is my demand, is we get at least one of these three players or whatever. We got you.
Torreira was there for the taking as well. Like, he'd been there a year.
He wanted it. He wanted to come home. He begged.
We wouldn't pay, or we wouldn't even try it, which was weird. I mean, I still wouldn't take Torreira now. I think he's too similar to Benacer. But yeah, that was a funny one. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. Let's. I'll do a quick rumor. What did we call it? Shit or what?
Sound or shit.
Yeah. Right. So it's slightly different. So three different positions that we're apparently targeting. Just want you to name a name and why. Benacer's partner. Do you want Bakayoko, Florentino Luiz, or Mark Rocha?
Who's the last one?
Mark Roca. Roca? Roca?
I don't know. Is he the Espanol one, right?
Yeah. He is. I mean, I'll start by saying that I watched a load of his clips earlier. I know it's YouTube and I know it's highlights, but he looks like there's something there. Like, he reminds me that the most of them, like Sandro Tonali, a good sort of deep-lying playmaker. Not sure that he's as combative, but he looks decent. I mean, I guess there's a reason Real Madrid are after him. You know, there's a player in there, and he's won the whatever.
What is the like price tag for him, or estimated at least?
20 to 30 mil. He's got a 40 mil release clause, but Espanyol are about to get relegated. So I actually went to see Espanyol earlier in the year.
I remember that.
And I went to Barcelona. I don't remember picking out anyone from them who looked good. I just remember thinking Sal Niguez is ridiculously overrated.
Yeah, definitely. So we're looking at Roca for 40 mil release clause potential. We could get him for 30. Bakayoko 35 mil when we had an option for him at 35 mil like last year. Florentino Luis, who had like, what was it, like a 50 million release clause?
120 is release clause.
120, but we were looking to buy for 50. And then Sandro Tonali, a lifelong Milan fan who knows the league, would be perfect for the team, has begged to join for three consecutive years, is joining Inter for
and
less than
going
all of
to Inter.
Now, there's one thing in this that I think I missed out when I tweeted out of rage when I saw the Di Marzio thing. I don't blame Tonali for saying I want to go to Inter, because obviously there's Barella and Center there, who he'll be able to form sort of an Italian core midfield with. I get that. There is national team teammates.
They're in the Champions League. That's what matters.
Wages too. They'll be able to offer more wages. I don't know. I mean, we might not have heard the end of it. By the sounds of it, Inter aren't exactly particularly willing to throw this, despite having an agreement with the player, they haven't yet closed anything. So who knows? But if he goes there, I'll be a bit gutted. I don't think
I'm not too crazy about him.
Yeah, I don't think he's the world-beating generational talent that people make out.
But I do think he's the best of the four names just mentioned, and clearly the cheapest as well.
I'd rather, for next season, to give us the stability, I'd go with Bakayoko. But
I mean, that's who I'm picking out of the three that were my choice.
And by the way, when you were talking about how Torreira and he's too similar to Benacer, I can see why people say that, because the way we've employed Benacer has been more defensive. But having watched him a lot for Algeria, I really think
box to box.
I said this actually at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I really would like to see him on the left side where Bonaventura and sometimes Hakan usually play. I would like to see him in that spot, because that's how Algeria used him. They had Adeline Gidiura, midfielder, but they just had him. Yeah, they just had him just kick the shit out of people and like do all the defensive work. And then whenever they got the ball, they just gave it to Benacer and it's like, just do something. Dribble past somebody and like start, because his passing is great. He's a very nice passer and he's good in his first dribble and all that kind of stuff. I think if you had Bakayoko, it wouldn't really like negate any of his, it would actually like reduce his defensive responsibilities and just let him go forward. I think that would be the best option.
And that would be ideal, because we saw what Bakayoko can do in defense, and we saw the partnership he built with Kessié already. You know, Kessié has not been good this season. Give him that guy to you know, be his buddy in the midfield again, and Kessié's ability goes up. Everything you just said about Benacer, throw him on the left. Now, not only is Benacer doing all that cool stuff, but we don't see Hakan. We don't see Bonaventura, and those are two big pluses.
Hakan is starting for next season. You know, if Ranić arrives,
he'll start in goal if the option's there. I mean, he will just start. Like, he'll take over. He's gonna be Pioli's successor. Player
Hakan can be good. I am one of the few people on me on Twitter that doesn't hate Hakan. He started the season out terribly. He started the season out terribly, but I really think I think Ranić will really like him. I really think he'll like him.
It can fit into that, you know, with the 4-4-2 or 4-2-2-2. Those two wide midfielder slots, he'd kind of be perfect there, because he can drift into space and hurt teams when he plays more centrally. But also, he does work hard. You know, we've seen him in the press when he plays as a trequartista. He does work hard, and I'll give him that. I also think, same reason, Paqueta could work well on the other side, you know. We'll see on that one. The other one I was going to say is Jovic or Milik, but like...
Jovic. I know you're about Milik, but I'm a Jovic boy.
I don't mind Milik, but I think the De Laurentiis is being a bell end about it. Like,
always is. You know,
he's notoriously hard to deal with.
Are they permanent rumors?
Yeah, would be, because Napoli need to sell him because his deal runs out in 2021, so he'd obviously leave on a free next summer, and he's not renewing. The only chance is if we just say here's a swap for Kessié, but I just know what would happen. Kessié would go to Napoli and flourish under Gattuso.
He'd be so good. He'd be so good. Gattuso knows exactly how to use him. More defensively, don't ask him to do all this kind of stuff around the box. Just let him do his defensive work. Kessié is great at that. When he's just doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then the centre-back, I mean, there's just not even one solid name at the moment. Thiago Silva, I just don't see it happening. That would go against literally everything that we're trying to build. I don't get that rumour. I just don't. It won't go away.
It's been around since, like, 2015. It just
we sold him, and then the next day that rumor came out.
Yeah,
it's been there forever.
Yeah, them two was a reunion. That was the whole thing, is it was pitched on a reunion of the two players that won the Scudetto, and now Zlatan's going. I just don't see it. It would go against literally everything.
It doesn't make any sense.
If we're bringing back Scudetto players, I want Seedorf back in midfield. I think he could still give us a solid 60 minutes.
Who
probably would Seedorf.
Well, Seedorf was. We forced him to retire to take over for us and sacked him in half a season.
I still buy that because he's another manager who should have been given more time because we played some really good football with him that season. He saved that season.
We were on a sinking ship. Granted, I would take Allegri over him like today, but at the time, I wanted Allegri's head.
Seedorf saved us.
You know, he was right there. I mean, obviously Gattuso was closer, but like Seedorf had a lot more to work against.
Has anyone ever looked at the game we lost against the fourth three? The game Allegri back. Has anyone ever looked at that lineup again?
I watched it back once, and it was a super foggy game, and I remember thinking, why am I watching this again? I just looked at one time
out of curiosity, just looked at the lineup and was just like, I cannot believe at the time I wanted Allegri to do something good with this team.
Right? Yeah, that was bad. I think that was our worst team. Yeah. That was the worst 11 that we've put out on the field. And it was
Abiadi. We had Mexis.
Did Bonera start?
Bonera. Who were our fullbacks? I can't even remember.
Emmanuelson was playing. All these guys. I would literally looked at the thing and I was like, I cannot believe we seriously as a collective wanted this guy to not be terrible with this team.
We screwed him up.
You can give that team to whoever you want. Yeah, you can give that team to whoever you want. Klopp, Pep, whatever. That team is not winning a game. I don't care what you paid for it with
Allegri as well. I mean, I get it. Berlusconi was starting to run out of money, so he sold. He basically had to sell, and unfortunately, we bit the bullet for that, and we kind of threw Allegri under the bus as a result. Anyway, one question, and then we'll wrap it up. Nuriz Aktaviyan. This is a decent question, in my opinion. Basically, you can have one input for the new stadium. I don't even know how to phrase this question. It's an interesting one. Start with, which of the two designs do you prefer?
I like the cathedral. Was that the name of the one?
Yeah.
It had all the slits everywhere. I thought that one was really cool looking.
I'm just going to say it hates both.
I haven't seen either of them.
One of them's a big bowl, and one of them's like a shoebox kind of shape.
The bowl, then. It's always the bowl. I hate the shoebox one. The box ones, I hate those.
Okay, fair. Stadium name. If the stadium naming rights were to be sold, what kind of company would you want? This is a difficult question. My instant thought was something like Fly Emirates.
Yeah, so that was my first.
They've got the Emirates Stadium, but
I'm going to go for one that makes zero sense at all. But Nando's.
Nando's Stadium. That's quite sick.
Elliott Hedge Fund Arena.
It does kind of look like.
I'm trying to think about it. Like we're sharing with Inter, so it's got to be something that kind of applies to both of us. Trophyless Stadium.
We're not winning anything anytime soon, Stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, that would fit around the ball.
I have the starting lineup for that game. Abiadi, Decilio, Emmanuelson, De Jong, Zapata, Bonera, Nocerino, Cristante, Balotelli, De Souza. It says number 7, De Souza. Who was that? Was that Torres?
That's Robinho.
Yeah, Robinho.
Robinho. And then Kaká. But he was not.
What the hell did we want from the squad, man? Like, I look back in hindsight, I'm like, I can't believe we used to, like, shit on managers.
Wait till you hear the substitutions that came on. Pazzini, Montolivo, and Honda.
Never disrespect Honda or Pazzini for a start.
Pazzini, okay, yeah, cool. He came on.
Pazzini was good.
Yeah.
Name the other people.
Matri, you know? Like, it wasn't any better.
I still think the funniest moment in the entire banter era of Milan is when we had Mattia Destro on loan from Roma until the end of the season, and in that last game of the season against Roma, when he had to go back, he scored and celebrated. Like, mate, that's your team for next season. You shouldn't be celebrating.
No, my favorite one, I think, it was in the Parma game. DiCilio's back pass to Diego Lopez. He gets injured, own goal.
Of the funniest, I don't know why this is, I have two. First, the Cerci non-pass.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Dude, that one, I just remember the commentator just borderline cursing at him. And then, for some reason, I don't know why this one sticks with me. When we played Madrid in that friendly.
And we won like 5-2.
We won 5-1, right?
Yeah.
So the funniest part is Matri came on right at the death. And then just walked onto the pitch, and then the referee blew the whistle for the end. And I just remember the camera was on him the whole time, and he was just he just burst out laughing, just going like, you know, he just walked out. I don't know why that one sticks with me.
Honestly, I'm determined to go back in preseason and do like a roundup of the funniest moments from our International Champions Cup and like other preseason tournaments, because we've had some funny ones, like,
yeah. Gattuso and Mourinho saying, you guys want to
get that thing where in the 17-18 preseason when we like hammered Bayern Munich, we put a proper put them to the sword.
We beat them like 4-0 or something.
Yeah. What the hell?
And then that was when Montella had the job. And we had spent all that money and Bonaventura nutmegged Hummels. And we were like, this is it. We are winning the
games. Like, we were 2-0 up and we were playing really well. And then Cutrone came on and scored twice, and we were like, who's this guy?
Was that Donnarumma's debut also or something like that? Or No.
Donnarumma had already been the starter before by then. Donnarumma has been the starter since Mihailovic.
He came into that preseason for PKs and was like, why are we doing this? He's a kid. Mm. A little did we know then. But yeah.
Dude, I remember, I was thinking the other day, how many managers has Romagnoli played through? So we signed him with Mihailovic, then Brocchi, and then I'm not even going to list, it's too long. Man.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I was just thinking, like, how good does it be competent after all this?
Yeah, all imagine those if managers and the guy at, like, still a Real Madrid competent. Under a consistent manager or like with Pep Guardiola or something, he would be the best defender in the world right now. Like, guaranteed.
The funny thing about all this The funny thing about this is, like, we've only stayed on a level in and around the Europa League because Roma and Lazio and all these other teams have a tendency to do the same thing and just blow it up whenever they have something good going. Like, Roma are worse than us for doing that, but at least they make a profit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. I'm just going to turn red laughing.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Reminder, vote on the football content awards thing. The info was at the start, so go and do that now. And I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more explicit Milan based rants. Being joined by Anthony Tolgrove.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Really good episode. I'm enjoying myself. I'm on Twitter at Tolgrove45.
It was a fun episode with a lot of internet difficulties. And you can find me at Bader Ahmed, my last and first name.
Right. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, mate. We'll have to get you on more often because, frankly, it makes me feel calm. See you go off. Thanks for joining us. And thank you if you made it this far. And we will catch you in a week's time when hopefully we are in the cup final.
Tira Alessio, Suso, tira! Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli!